This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
Peter, you have done a phenomenal job.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
Now let me throw a couple at you. What's your name?
Don.
Don.
Bang, bang!
Don, you understand what I'm saying?
No, I'm out.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
Huh? Hello? What?
What's up, homies?
Hi, guys.
Good evening, and welcome to ENN.
Let's go.
Who's this?
It's time. It's all fueled tonight by our friends at Geico. The real value of car insurance, not how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico has been perfecting both for over 75 years. I'm being told that we have a new sponsor coming on board soon for
really
ENN.
People, by the way, Yes is thinking about running this on their website, ENN, rather than doing it live on Yes.
Oh, they don't. They're
trying to drive traffic to the website.
Well, yeah. You remember, to find the Michael K Show on the Yes website, you have to go to Other, and then Other again, and then Radio Shows, and then Other. And then Michael K vehicles, and then Center Stage, and then Other, and then
right.
You find the
so it's quite
Israeli basketball today,
and then
that wacky golf show they have on before us.
Oh, by the way, there are a couple of good reasons to watch the wacky golf.
Yes. Great show.
Wacky's not the rough,
shot
the proper
well.
Word.
Well, some would say whack,
stunning.
Some would say whack is the right.
I would think that's in play. Sure.
I'll start off by saying good evening to Michael.
You are always wrong.
I'll see you were on a roll today, and then I'll say good evening to Don.
I'm sorry that I'm passionate.
What else did Michael have to say today, RJ? I feel like Michael.
I got some.
You got some? Here.
You all know damn well you wouldn't bust a grape in a fruit fight. And then there's this. If you're going to rock with us, then rock with us. That's it.
No. And then there's also.
I hate Don. When did I say I hate Don?
Your sentence was weird, and you were trying to say something that you hate. But you threw Don as like the comma in the middle of the sentence.
Okay.
You were like, I hate Don, how blah, blah, blah. The problem is now we just have.
I hate Don.
So it's taken out of context, which I think should make it
very
ineligible for.
That's what drops off.
What I hope will be our third annual Drop Madness.
I'm preaching against it.
But. And he's got a lot of sway, Peter.
So I know you didn't see it on television because SNY didn't cover it, but Carlos Beltran is the new.
Beltran. Please get it right.
I like Beltran.
But you're the one advocating Beltran.
Well, I know it's Beltran properly, but I like saying Beltran for some reason. Carlos Beltran.
That's it. You're supposed to put the accent on the second syllable.
Carlos Beltran.
Beltran.
That's right. Well, he is the new manager of the Mets, and he addressed his lack of experience, I'm guessing.
There's no doubt that there's things that I need to continue to grow in this game of baseball. I have a lot of experience as a player. I understand that experience as a manager is something that I have a good group of people around me to support me through the process. So I'm excited. I have a lot of mentors out there that have reached out to me to help me in the process. So I'm just looking forward to what is ahead.
Great, man.
Carlos also asked, any issues that he's had with the Mets? Are they in the past?
It wasn't even discussed, honestly. I think what we leave, the organization and I, you know, it's in the past. I would not be standing here if everything wasn't clear with the organization. So I'm excited to be back, honestly. It was a situation that I was able to move forward. And I personally believe that you can't progress in life if you think in the past. You have to be able to be conscious and live in the present moment.
Well, see, I have to learn that from my friend because I'm fixated on slights in the past.
Yeah, that is true. You will have to talk about that. So there you have it. Carlos Beltran, new manager of the New York Mets. We just discussed that. Also, we didn't get to this yet. Didi Gregorius did not receive the $17.8 million qualifying offer.
Now, according to Bob Nightingale of USA Today, 10 players did. Those 10 players are Gerrit Cole will not take it. Steven Strasburg will not take it. Anthony Rendon will not take it. Josh Donaldson will not take it. Mad Bum, he might. He might. I'm not sure.
I think he would.
Abreu, Smith, okay. Ozuna, okay. Zach Wheeler, let's go. Odorizzi. Now, the players have 10 days to accept or reject the $17.8 million offer.
Why?
And the only reason the teams make it, they wouldn't mind a player grabbing just 1 year. If the Mets could get Wheeler 1 year, 17.8, that'd be fine. The Mets also said in the press conference today, if Wheeler turns it down and becomes a free agent, goes somewhere, then they will just convert some of their former starters that became relievers into starters again, like Seth Lugo. Who's the other guy? What was his name? Slipping.
What are you thinking about the pitcher?
Yeah, the Mets, the long-haired guy. Gesellman.
Gesellman, yeah.
Gesellman and Lugo would train to be starters going into the season.
Is that what you want to hear if you're a Mets fan? Losing Wheeler for Lugo or Gesellman?
Well, they helped them get into the playoffs a couple of years ago.
And Lugo had a good run this year.
But the problem is that if by making Lugo a starter, you've taken your best reliever right out of the bullpen.
The Washington Nationals celebrated at the White House today.
Oh, sure.
A good amount of the team participated. Well, and I would say also a pretty sizable amount didn't participate. It was pretty interesting. First of all, it's certainly the fastest we've seen any team go celebrate at the White House.
But of the players that didn't go, only one articulated that he didn't go because he didn't like the policies of the man that's in office. And the other people just didn't show up.
Well, one also, Baby Shark, said that he was getting ready for his wedding.
Who's Baby Shark again?
I always say his last name wrong. Guerra?
Javi Guerra.
Yeah. But is that really a reason? Preparing for your wedding?
No.
The Monday before a wedding, what are you
doing?
Well,
if the wedding's in California.
Yeah, unless he's taking a stagecoach time, I think he could.
But he's getting married on a Tuesday.
Why would he be getting married on a Tuesday?
I'm giving examples on where it's an acceptable excuse if he's getting married.
They had the parade Saturday. They all went to the Capitals game last night. Tonight, today he had to get out of town.
Here's what's acceptable. If it's in the continental United States and he's getting married on a Tuesday, if he's getting married abroad, I'll give him Wednesday. But if he's getting married over the weekend, then I cannot buy it as an excuse.
But
unless he's actually a wedding planner.
Maybe he's getting married over the weekend in California, and he's on the no-fly list and drive
there.
I
didn't think about that. Yes. If he's on the no-fly list.
I don't know why he'd be on the no-fly list, but.
Now, if he's getting married abroad and he's on the no-fly list, then that is the major problem.
Yeah, he'd have to boat there.
So here's who did not go to the White House. Anthony Rendon, Victor Robles, Michael A. Taylor, Javi Guerra, Joe Ross, Wander Suero, and
Sean Doolittle.
Sean Doolittle.
You know what? You know what I hate about this? I really do. It doesn't matter where you fall politically on this, but I hate this, that this has now become a political vehicle. It was never a political vehicle. Well, there were some players that didn't want to meet Clinton. Yes. I understand. But
remember,
for the
Tim
most
Thomas
part, they
didn't
went.
Want to meet Obama. I remember because he was a Republican.
Oh, okay.
But it was
but
rare.
But now it's unfortunate because there might be people that want to go to the White House and receive the honor of being in the White House and don't approve of the president. But if they go with their team and be part of team unity, they're going to be painted with the same broad brush. This should not be a political event. I'm sorry. It shouldn't. It should be about celebrating the accomplishment of a team, and that's been taken away now. Now we're keeping score on who showed up and who didn't show up. It's all gone haywire. Everybody, it's gone haywire. It really has.
Well, I think the only people that should be held accountable or at least tagged as not wanting to meet Trump or making it a political issue are the people that said they didn't go because of Trump. Because there are people that just sometimes you can't go.
But not that many.
By the way, I knew I was saying this. I knew I was getting this wrong as I said it. Further reaffirming what a fraud I am. It's Parra that's the baby that Baby Shark came
Gerardo
from.
Gerardo Parra.
Yeah, it's Parra that it comes from.
But I don't think everybody that doesn't go should be thrown up.
But because it's so politicized, that's what's happening, Don.
Yeah, and
everybody that goes, they believe that, well, they support the president.
Well, and then there's different levels to it, right? Like, for example, no one knew that Kurt Suzuki was going to get felt up by the president. But that happened.
Or would throw on a MAGA hat.
Or that he would throw on a hat. Or Ryan Zimmerman, who really, you know, waxed poetic on the level of the honor. You know, there are different ways that you can go about it.
But this is what's happened. Now, Strasburg spoke, and he didn't shake the president's hand. Was that on purpose? Did he just happen not to notice?
Right.
So is he making a political statement, or did he just have bad peripheral vision? I don't know.
No, yeah, this kind of honor, should we be parsing it like this? Strasburg might have never seen the hand extended.
He
and
did.
Now
he,
we're looking as
it was
if,
definitely
well,
an accident. Yeah. There's pictures of them talking. And he specifically referenced he had a funny memory. Trump in 2012 tweeted that the Nationals would regret shutting down Strasburg when he eventually one day would leave them to go make more money.
Mm-hmm.
So Strasburg referenced that in a joking way. I do not think he intentionally didn't shake his hand. He just happened to miss
it. But it's a thing, right? It's now a thing.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing by far.
It's like a parlor game.
The name Kurt Suzuki has been trending number one all day, though.
Now, unfortunately, like I always think that maybe, regardless of who is in office, if these leagues just said, listen, we're going to just have all of our teams decline. It's been politicized. We don't want to get involved. But unfortunately, that would get politicized as
right.
If Major League Baseball did that. Oh, Major League Baseball is against Trump or against whoever the president is. And it was a silly thing that Nixon started in a Rose Garden. And now it's become like one of the major things now of teams going to the White House.
If you haven't seen the picture of Kurt Suzuki being hugged by the president, it's very odd because he hugged him from behind.
A little strange.
And his hands are kind of on his breast. So all around Twitter, it's being twinned up with the Janet Jackson Rolling Stone cover.
That's correct.
Some people are saying it looks like a scene from the Titanic when Rose and
it's truly one of the weirdest pictures you'll ever see.
I
thought it was superimposed when I saw it.
No, it was real.
Well, we know that the Dolphins beat the Jets yesterday for the first win.
You're in music. Whose hands were it on Janet Jackson? Do you know?
It was her ex-boyfriend, Rene Elizondo.
Okay.
Was he the ex at the time?
No, they were very serious.
Okay.
Then.
Very serious. You have to be very serious to be able to do that.
It's quite an honor.
What a great answer. Like, he knew.
He did know.
It's tremendous.
If it's about music, if this was a music show, it'd be the Peter Rosenberg.
Well, very specifically,
I was
obsessed with Janet Jackson, though.
Was? No more?
I mean, I love her, but not the way I did when I was 14.
Miss Jackson, if you're nasty.
If you're nasty.
Boy, we made that uncool, didn't
we? It's almost a drop. I'm trying to decide, is the way you guys both stumbled on it together.
Let's go.
All right, well, the Dolphins did beat the Jets for their first win, and Ryan Fitzpatrick talks about why this win was so meaningful.
To do it with these guys, the things that we've had to fight through and all the negativity that is surrounding from the outside looking in, the way that guys have decided to be positive, decided to practice well, decided to come to work every single day and work hard. That's what makes this one so special. It's nice when something like that pays off and you could see the fruits of your labor.
And also, I'd just like to say that everyone hates Josh Rosen, so it really worked out well for me. I mean, of all the teams for Fitzpatrick to end up on, I think it's so funny that he ended up on a team whose other quarterback was someone who appears to be so unlikable by his other teammates, because Ryan Fitzpatrick, by all accounts, is one of the most likable teammates in the history of football. Also, if you really look at the Dolphins the last few weeks, they beat the Jets. They were up against the Steelers and let them win. They played tough and were up against the Bills, ended up losing that game. Could have beaten the Redskins, lost by a point. The last month, they have been a god-awful football team.
If they weren't tanking, that you could kind of forgive them.
Forgive the Jets yes.
For losing a road game to Miami. It would be tough. I mean, it's hard to say forgive, but it would be a lot easier to swallow than this. Because as you just outlined, they played well in those games, but they knew at the right time that it wasn't going to happen. And from a play-calling standpoint, not the players, because I think the players, they work hard, they want to win, nobody wants to be embarrassed. Every Dolphin player on that field gave their all and were happy to win. But the play-calling standpoint, you saw it in the Pittsburgh game, you saw it in the Buffalo game, and you certainly saw it at times yesterday. But the Jets wouldn't let them do it.
The season started 59-10, 43-0, 31-6.
Well, that's when I think they established what they were doing.
But the next four have not been exactly like that.
Well, they haven't been playing world beaters the last four either. So it's been the Redskins, the Jets, who else?
The Jets, Steelers, Bills, Redskins. The Steelers are okay.
Right.
And the Bills are decent. Pretty good team.
Mm-hmm.
Things are not going well in Cleveland Town.
Why? Tell us.
They lost again.
They were my three-point pick.
And Odell Beckham Jr. and Jarvis Landry both had a cleat situation. They were told if they didn't change their cleats at halftime, they couldn't play. Here's Odell explaining exactly what happened.
I have a deal with Nike. We were supposed to wear white jerseys this week. In the off season, before the season even starts in June and July, we sit down, we map out the cleats. All right, this is it, man. This is the jersey you're going to wear. Cool. Da-da-da. This week on Wednesday or Thursday, we switch jerseys from the white to the all brown. So I had no cleats left to wear. I had none I could have wore, and the black ones that I was wearing for the rest of the game, for some reason, was just hurting my feet. So I went to the ones that was most comfortable. I'm pretty sure that they changed the rule, and you know, cleats wasn't a big deal. It's only a big deal to the people who are talking about it. You know, when I have cleats on my feet, they could be hot pink, lime green. It's never going to affect me. It's not something that I worry about while I'm running route, reading coverages, and trying to win a game. So it was just tough. They literally switched the jersey, so I had the cleats that I had was not
a lot of cleat talk.
This is what you get with Odell.
Odell yesterday, 5 receptions for 87 yards.
So the cleats that he liked, which were white Joker based cleats, mm-hmm. they're made by Nike. Mm-hmm. The ones that say OBJ, the dark cleats, made by Nike. But the OBJ ones don't feel right. They're made by the same company.
It seems weird, right?
Curious.
Now, that wasn't the only bit of controversy surrounding this loss by the Cleveland Browns. After the game, Jermaine Whitehead, a fourth-year safety, had his Twitter account suspended after posting several threatening tweets in response to criticisms of his performance. Today, he was waived. Here is the coach, Freddie Kitchens.
We released a statement last night. I'll just stand by that statement.
You don't have any more you want to say about a guy who started 8 games who's threatened people?
We released a statement last night. We don't condone that type of behavior or talk or anything like that.
Now I know what you're going to say. Michael K., Dom, I know what you're both going to say.
It's Don.
How could I waive a player for threatening people when I come on this show every week and threaten people? Right? Is that what you were going to say?
Not really.
We smart alecky New York boys.
We didn't want you on the show today.
But there's a difference about when Freddie Kitchens does it and when this fella, Jermaine Whitehead, if that's what his name was. Every once in a while, I was a kid, my daddy and I, we'd get into an argument because I would see daddy getting on, laying down in the bed with mama, and the sheets would be bouncing around in the bed. And I'd go, hey, what's going on? I hear y'all making all that racket up there, making all that fuss. I want to play that game. And my daddy would say, son, you don't get to play all the games that daddy gets to play. Very similar situation right now, myself and Jermaine Whitehead. He doesn't get to play all the games that daddy plays. And matter of fact, even though I waved him, if I ever see you on the Twitter again, I'm gonna kill you. Freddie Keith.
It's a shame that this guy's gonna get fired at the end of the year, likely.
You're almost done.
I hope the Jets hire him. I hope he becomes the Jets' next head coach just for this.
There's some disturbing stuff in that story. Sterling Shepard, not going to see him tonight, guys. He is back in the concussion protocol. And that'll do it for ENN on this Monday evening. I got to stop. It's time to end the show.
Also, you left out one thing. Good ENN story. The President's Sports Tour continues this weekend. He'll be at the LSU-Alabama game.
Is that really true?
Yes.
Three
in a week and a half.
Roll Tide.
Yeah. I hate Don. Yep. In the words of Billy Joel, life is a series of hellos and goodbyes. I'm afraid it's time for goodbye again. Coming up on 98.7, Rangers pregame. Stay tuned for that. See everybody.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
That's right, man.
Don't miss Michael, Don, and Peter weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York. Or look for us under Listen on the ESPN app.